very dramatic events in Parshas Korach, and of course very sad events. Korach leads an insurrection of an entire people, just that, a mindless, screaming and screeching mob, looking for blood, looking to depose and dethrone Moshe Rabbeinu. In any event, Korach is successful. And they attack Moshe verbally, Madua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem. And Moshe at least seems very, very willing to participate. And Moshe's first response is, I'll tell you what, tomorrow we'll decide, Hashem will show us. V'yod Hashem es asher lo. Let's have a test, let's have a description to see who will be selected, who won't be. They won't take your guitarists, and those that Hashem selects will be selected. Those that won't be selected will be deselected. Of course, ultimately, they're not just deselected and discarded, but they're incinerated. And at this point, Moshe's response seems very appropriate. But then he adds four words. And Chazal take him to task for these four words. Moshe's initial response to Korach's petition or Korach's protest, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, it's enough. Stop what you're doing. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Now, what do Chazal have difficulty with Moshe's response? Why is this response, look, it's nothing that would be terrible if you and I were to say it, but at Moshe's level, and the degree that Moshe was able to exert, stunningly so, control over his verbal capabilities, because that's really one of the signs of a developed and progressed human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every human being a great power, the power of speech, the power of tongue. Uncle interprets the word Tzelem Elokim, the phrase Tzelem Elokim in Parshas Bereishis to refer to Nefesh Mimalala, a soul that speaks, and we are really the only creature to speak cognitively and creatively. There are many species which speak to each other, but their speech is very primal, very instinctive, where to migrate, when to mate, how to eat, very, very basic survival instincts. But we communicate cognitively and intelligently. In fact, the more intelligent and the quicker we relay information, the more we advance, and that's the culture of the Internet, when really we haven't discovered anything new, but our ability to seamlessly exchange information has augmented our technological prowess. So the ability to speak is very much a measure of a human being. And the potential HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives that human being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to develop it and protect it and speak dignified and watch our tongues. And part of watching our tongues is not to speak Lashon Hara. Part of watching our tongues is not to speak something which is sexual content in an overt and graphic fashion, in a pornographic fashion. That's Chazal called nibbel peh. And part of it is not to curse, even though unfortunately today curses have lost their nibbel peh content. They're just vulgar forms of language. Either way, we're meant to develop that tongue, and Moshe is really an indication of a person who made the journey, who transitioned from a kvat peh and a ral peh, or al sfasayim, someone who at least felt he wasn't that facile in words and in speech, and he becomes a great orator, and he's a great teacher, and a great speaker, and a great prayer, and a great davener. So it's really striking the development of Moshe, and a development which is aided by this religious mission, this religious energy, which he senses. So Moshe Rabbeinu is very careful about what he says and how he says things. But all of a sudden in Parshas Korach, and then ultimately in Parshas Chukas, where he's brought to anger, to real anger, in the story of the rock and hitting the rock in Mei Meriva, but already in Parshas Korach, he says something which Chazal say is a little bit unfair. Again, at Moshe's level. Maybe for us it would be appropriate, but for Moshe, as Chazal say, Tzadikim or Nidonim Kechut HaSaira, they're judged at a higher standard. We saw that already in Parsha Shmini, about the sons of Aharon, Bikruvaya Kadesh. And Moshe's standard does not invite this type of language. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, first of all, there's a little taunting going on, because Dustin and Aviram gathered the people, Vayamur Lehem and Pasuk Gimel, Rav Lachem, it's enough for you, Aharon and Moshe, you're taking too much, Ki Kol Haidak Kulam Kidoshim V'tacham Hashem. Taking too much power, too much authority. Rav Lachem. So when Moshe says Rav Lachem, it's a bit taunting almost. Sometimes when you're children, you repeat everything someone else says. And it's like a teasing, taunting, very, very almost patronizing. It infantilizes the process. So you said this, I'll say it back to you. And maybe there are other words that could be more respectful and give people that respect, even if you can't accede to their wishes. And at least at this point, that may have been an alternate narrative. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, it seems like there were some people out for confrontation. And certainly, we have example and record of Dasan Vaviram being very provocative and antagonistic to Moshe. But we don't have the same record about Korach and certainly on Ben Peles and certainly not the 250 people. So if the response were more substantive and it wouldn't have taunted them, maybe they would have retreated. Maybe they would have found some solution. Very often we have to learn not just what we say is important, but how we say something. To think of the types of words that will cool situations rather than ignite them, that will show respect rather than disrespect, even if we can't say yes. There's no reason to be disrespectful, to be hostile, to say things that will get people's goat and antagonize. And you can't help but sense there's a bit of an antagonism. It's subtle. But certainly from Moshe's perspective, as gifted as he was, maybe the word rab was not the word to employ. Second of all, even if it hadn't been used before, these are people searching for religious voice. And again, some of them are searching for political agenda and for manipulating the crowds, but there's got to be some of those there that were really interested in being prophets, really interested in power sharing. And maybe they were off and maybe they were mistaken, but you don't want to stymie or throttle. You don't want to stifle religious drive. You want to try to redirect it. Okay, so you want to have a voice, work better at chesed, lead the machana, to attend to your nasi duties, your anshei shame duties a little bit more effectively. Moshe is in effect capping their ambition. Rav lachem, enough, you have enough, what you're doing is enough already, don't look for more. You ever want to say that to someone, Rav lachem? You always want to say do more, but do it this way. Maybe we have a lot of issues that plague us. One of the most difficult issues, at least in the United States, is the role of women in the Orthodox world. And women are, understandably, looking for greater voice and greater activity and greater participation. And we can't always accommodate based on either the halachic allowances, and sometimes not just halacha, but minhag, and sometimes not just minhag, but very, very subtle social agendas that we all together, men and women, have to guard. And on the other hand, we want sincerely devout women to find that voice. And sometimes it could be a no that unfortunately is very little we can do, and sometimes it could be a no that's very harsh and almost vindictive, chalila v'chas. And that's part of how Chazal are a little bit critical of Moshe Rabbeinu, because of these words, Rav Lachem Bnei Levi. And the criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, again for us, maybe it would be appropriate, but Moshe has to be extremely ultra-sensitive. When Moshe is praying and pleading to be granted entry into Eretz Yisrael, and he davens, and according to Chazal, he davens 500 tefillos. Famous tefillah of Moshe, the greatest tefillah ever offered, which wasn't accepted. And Hashem tells him, Rav Lacha, Al Totsev Dabar Elai Od B'Davar Hazeh. Hashem tells Moshe, Rav Lacha, enough, stop davening. And according to the Medrash, because Moshe Rabbeinu employed the words Rav Lachem Bnei Levi, and he capped their hopes, and he dashed their hopes, and maybe there's even a little bit taunting to what they had said before, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers the final blow to Moshe Rabbeinu. Enough is enough, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't daven anymore. It's not going to help. That final blow, as it were, is also delivered with the word Rav Lach. So, obviously, most of the attention in Parshas Korach is focused on Korach and his band of mutinous troublemakers and riffraff. And there's a lot to speak about, obviously, on that front. And Moshe is obviously in the right, and he's being assailed unjustifiably. He's an innocent man who's been single-handedly holding together this crumbling facade of Am Yisrael as it deteriorates in Parshas Sefer Bamidbar from one rebellion to another insurrection, and Moshe is nothing short of heroic in shouldering these burdens. And sadly and tragically, he's unable to, and it all falls apart, and they wander 40 years, and the generation has to be replaced, and through the degree Moshe suffers because the generation is replaced, and he can't lead this new generation into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe's responses to Korach and Dathan Vaviram and the 250 are perfectly legitimate. But it's not always important what you say. Sometimes it's important how you say things. And Moshe says it appropriately, but in the world of Moshe, Chazal sends the term Rab Lachem in Pasuk Zayin, Perek Zayin, Rab Lachem b'nei Levi, it's a little bit off. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers that crushing, crushing message to Moshe, you won't be granted entry into Eretz Yisrael, Rav Lach, Al Tosef Deber Le'od B'Davar Zeh. Shabbat Shalom.